Please be seated. We now hear a violin solo played by Noah. Music is a tremendous value for the Grayson family, and we wanted to be blessed and comforted by the beautiful music that God has given to us. We now hear Noah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. O God of grace and mercy, we give you thanks for your loving kindness to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first lesson for today is written in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. Have you not known the everlasting God? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The second lesson is written in the letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the text. The third lesson is from the Gospel of St. John and our words of Jesus, chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the lesson. And now it is my privilege to add a word of my own personal comments to the family and to the assembled congregation. Out of long friendship and relationship as pastor to Richard Grayson, I would offer this word of God to consider. Chapter 7, Book of Revelation. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no man could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these clothed in white robes, and whence have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night within his temple. And he who sits upon the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst, nor any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. One by one, God's faithful lay down the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith to join the multitude already assembled in eternity before the throne of God from every tribe and every nation, from all peoples and all tongues. They have left behind the burdens of life, and their constant spiritual warfare is past. They are soldiers no more. Just saints. Saints praising and serving God in the temple of heaven forever. Now that's the vision of St. John of Patmos. And I know there are difficulties with visions. And yet, there are many plain statements of comfort in the Scripture, it is true. But there are special times when the truths of the gospel speak powerfully to us in poetic word pictures, such as this vision of John. I think today is such a time. The death of a loved one breaks the heart, wounds the soul, tests our faith, and confronts us with the reality of human existence. We need enlarged vision to place our personal loss into the larger context of God's people. We need a word to comfort the heart, but also a word to stir the imagination. And it is that imagination that has been stirring in me these days since the death of Richard Grayson. And I have wondered how I am to think of him now. that he is no longer here. I know my memories, and you all have your own memories of different kinds of relationships, and I have mine. And I have found peace and comfort in placing him among these multitudes of people standing before the throne of God in the vision of St. John. It's a picture. All the people of God who die day after day after day, assembling before the throne of God, singing praises, serving him day and night, working with all the people that they have once known and with new ones that they have come to know. I have that conviction because of three things which I have been meditating on in these last days. I'm convinced that Richard is standing in that multitude. For one thing, I remember the relationships we had as pastor and parishioner many years ago. When I came to this congregation and was installed as pastor in 1983, the Grayson family was among those who welcomed me. They had been members here for years and years prior. But they gave me a friendship and a reception which I could not forget. In fact, Richard and his wife composed a small ditty, humorous ditty, sung by a quartet at the festivities after the installation. It was indeed something to hear. But it showed the creativity with which they participated in the life of this community. Soon he became my physician, and I was his pastor. It was a unique relationship, and it was strengthened and grew as the years went by our continuous conversations, not about the weather or about the crops growing around here, but about theological issues, about the large issues of life. Even when I came to see him in his office and needed a prescription for something or another, the nurses always prepared for a much longer visit than usual because we soon took care of the prescription, but then we launched out into all the issues before us, and it was usually Dr. Grayson who raised the question, who raised the issue, sometimes pushing me to the wall, challenging my understanding of the scripture. He was a man who loved God, but he wanted to understand. He wanted to understand some of the teachings of the sacred scriptures, which were difficult. And particularly, we ended up discussing again and again those areas of Christian teaching which intersect with the inquiries, the scientific inquiries of our day. That friendship grew to be a close and dear one. He was indeed challenging me to rethink my faith and to make it stronger. And I came away a better pastor and a better theologian. Well, in latter years, Richard did not participate actively in the institutional church, but that does not mean that he ceased to wonder and that he ceased to love his God, and that he would cease to investigate the issues which he found in the sacred scriptures. We would meet from time to time as both of our schedules permitted, and we would talk again, those deep conversations, and we would try to resolve the issues, try to find ways to understand, and when we could not understand, to recognize that faith and human knowledge simply were not yet adequately together to find the truth. But those were pleasant days, good days, a decade of pastor-parishioner relationships. And as I remember those and the conversations we had, I am convinced that he stands before the throne of God as one of those people who have been people of faith throughout their lives, and he sings the praises and provides the service as is his opportunity. A second reason I believe he stands before that throne is that in his last days, he called on me to be a pastor again. He called on me to provide that scripture and that prayer and that devotion, which would bring him again close to thinking about those great theological issues and now the issues facing his own last years of life. It was my privilege during these last days to have devotions with Richard every day. And the scriptures I read and the prayers I said and the conversation that followed continued in conversations with different members of the family late into the evening. And it is from that experience of his reception of the word, his glad hearing of the word of scripture, his participation in the prayers, and his response to my ministry, again, which makes me believe that Richard Grayson stands before the throne of God among that great multitude in the vision of St. John. And there is a third reason, and that reason relates to the fact that Richard Grayson is a baptized child of God. And the covenant which God made with him at his baptism is a covenant that is not abrogated. God continues to reach out to those who are his own. I couldn't help but thinking of the words of St. Paul, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. If we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." And so remembering his baptism, remembering the devotions that I had with him, among which I read one of the verses from St. John, again, words of Jesus, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And because of the covenant of God with him in baptism. For these three reasons, at least, I believe that we can place Richard Grayson among that company envisioned by St. John, coming out of the world of tribulation and now serving God. People who will no longer have the tribulations they had in this life, but God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And so I invite you, as you think of your husband, father, grandfather, friend, uncle, all of us, I invite you all to use your imagination, listen to the vision of St. John, and think about the elder's question, "Who are these who are dressed in white robes standing before the throne of God?" They are those whom God has called to him, among whom we all pray that we shall one day join and be with them forever. Amen.
loved ones, grace, mercy, and peace are yours through the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word chosen for our meditation is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her welfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received at the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This is God's word, and may his name ever be praised. Could we have a time of prayer? Lord, I pray that you would attend this message. Thank you, Lord, for the surpassingly beautiful music that we have already heard and will hear still. Thank you for the marvelous encomium of Pastor Bearbald, and thank you for a friendship that spanned 27 years, a pastor and physician, and they would give healing to each other. Thank you, Lord, for the family and for their great comfort of their beloved father and husband and grandfather. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Be powerfully present by your Spirit now, and may we grieve as those who have hope. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say thank you to you, Bobby. I entered your home, and within 2 minutes, you made me feel so happy. And it was a couple days ago that I was invited into your home, and you made me feel so special, and I appreciate your graciousness and your receptivity to me. May God bless you and your grief. And the children of Dr. Grayson, this is kind of like coming back home, isn't it? And I appreciate so much your kindness to me, too. You have wonderful memories of your husband and father, and he was one who, if he gave you a gift, it was just about 99% of the time book-related. It was either a book or it was a gift card from Borders or Amazon. And that love for learning, that love of knowledge, was passed on to you. And I did appreciate because I read Superman comics as a child. He would allow you to read comic books when you were children, and one of you possibly even read Harlequin romances, and that was okay with your dad, as long as it was reading, as long as it was educational. He limited the children's intake of television to 30 minutes a day on average, and minutes could be traded sibling to sibling, and most of the siblings knew that. It's unfortunate that one of the siblings did not know that. But it's very interesting that that would be the case. And by the way, that sibling possibly has the brilliance that he has, possibly because he didn't know about the trading of television minutes. But I just appreciate the memories that you shared with me. He was the kind of grandfather, if he found out that you had a hobby, he would encourage you in that hobby, and he would even give the money so that you could enjoy that hobby and possibly even give you a camera to start that hobby out with. And I'm sure that he had that kind of effect on all of you. He was, you could divide this message up into two parts. He was ahead of his time, and he was ahead of his eternity. He was ahead of his time. He was a ham radio operator. He was one of the first, according to your estimate, to own a computer. That's an amazing thing. And I'm wondering if he had a Commodore 64, because that is in our family. By the way, that's up in our garage right now. That might be worth something maybe 2,000 years from now. He had one of the first car phones. And he was just simply ahead of his time. He practiced so many techniques. He was just in love with technology. Pastor Bearbald told me that he was possibly the first doctor to have test results sent home so that he didn't have to go to the hospital. He was just ahead of his time in so many ways. And I'm sure after yesterday, but even before yesterday, you have heard quite a number of individuals say, "He saved my life. It was through his judicious diagnostic, and you could call him a brilliant diagnostic physician. Could I just see a show of hands? How many people are here because possibly Dr. Grayson saved your life? Can you raise them up high? And how many are not here? Were not able to be here? What a physician. Many people were saved by him. And as one who almost lost his life, I was within an hour of dying 25 years ago. And a physician saved me. I have been deeply touched. And how wonderful it is that he who would touch us with his blood, he who would be known as the Good Shepherd, would also be known as the Great Physician. Any physician who has a concern for people and who really cares and whose touch has saved and has blessed others with healing and strength, that is the image of God. Thank God for physicians and for doctors who bless us so much. And thank God for a great physician named Jesus and for a great physician named Richard Grayson. But loved ones, I appreciate what you told me about him. You said he solved problems for all of us, medical and otherwise, and all our friends. And sometimes he would be able to give a diagnosis that even the good folks at Mayo Clinic could not give. What brilliance. And praise God for a compassionate, kind-hearted physician like that. But even more meaningful to me is what you said about him in terms of personal characteristics. I love this. He whose head would sometimes be in the clouds, he whose head would be so far above, at least I'll say it, mine and my thinking, how wonderful that he would never be snobby to anybody, by your own words, that he would always be respectful of every person that he met. Thank God for a man like that. But I'm sure that while there was that humility that was a part of him, he was one who was kind of proud of what he attained in life. In terms of this, he could bench press 190 pounds. And praise God for someone who was a physician for his own body as well. Dr. Grayson was not capable of small talk. He was not tolerant of small talk. My dad told me one time about meeting a physician for the first time. He shook hands with the doctor, and by the way, this was not Dr. Grayson. This was a physician in Minnesota. And my dad went up to him and said, "Doctor, I understand that we have some mutual friends." Do you know how the doctor responded? "Take off your shirt and place your chest against the wall and deeply breathe." That was the response. I love it that doctors would be so concerned. Forget about the small talk. Let's see how you're doing. And I'm sure that there was some soul searching after that too. But Dr. Grayson, when there was an assemblage of people, he didn't cotton to the small talk. And sometimes at parties, he would withdraw to a private room, possibly read the British Journal of Medicine, whatever, and he would withdraw. And soon, people who congregated knew that they could go and not talk about the small stuff, the trifles, the minutiae, the baubles of life. They knew that they could talk to him about the big issues of life. And that's where some people were found. He was one who was blessed by people who could see inside and know that sometimes he needed to withdraw just because of his emotions. And you allowed him to give vent to those emotions, and there was a safe space for him there. Pastor alluded to some things, and I deeply appreciate Pastor Bearwald's ministry. To know someone for 27 years and to have a fast and long and deep friendship, that means so much. And I deeply thank God that Dr. Grayson put out the call for Pastor Berwald, our beloved Pastor Emeritus here, so that they could minister to each other. But Dr. Grayson is like me. I just want to announce to those of you who do not know me, although I look Jewish, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I embrace the Judaism aspect of Christianity. I look at Judaism as just giving rise to a different but a very much same sort of faith called Christianity. And in Judaism, Dr. Grayson, he appreciated Judaistic aspects of his faith, and he found out that in praising God, we have strength. What does the Hebrew scripture say? The joy of the Lord is your strength. He loved the traditions and loved some of the wonderful rituals of Judaism. He taught religion to junior high students, and already right there, I think he qualifies for sainthood right there. And he would tell his young charges and train them so that they would rise when a holy man would enter the room. And he would have the opinion that not one institution has all the answers, something that I believe too. But there is an important disclaimer that I would have following that, which I want to share later. He taught his beloved grandchildren how to memorize the Ten Commandments, and he had a special system for it of pigeonholing? Is that right? Pigeonholing every commandment so that if I were to say, you know the seventh commandment, right? I'm not going to put you on the spot. You know the seventh commandment, right? Okay, very good. But it was when his beloved wife June died. She was taken off life support at the time of June's passing, and they were listening to a non-religious radio station. The song was heard, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" And I'm sure that that was not the birth, that was not the genesis of his thinking about the things of heaven. I believe that heaven has hooks, that God has hooks on our soul. With every passing year, these hooks multiply, because with every passing friend, with a beloved mother or father who has predeceased us, loved ones, we want to know more about the life to come. Heaven has hooks, and with every passing person, those hooks multiply. And that was the case for Doctor. In his adult life, he took a great interest in genealogical matters. For those of you, I'm sure you've read the obituary, he could trace three of his ancestors back to the Mayflower. He had a great love for America through the roots that he had there. And he also had that nascent echo that there will be an eternity, and we can have wonderful conversation with those who preceded us, whose blood we share. It was a great-great-grandfather. His name is Wren Grayson. And this portion was written by this great-great-grandfather, and this meant a great deal to Dr. Grayson. And these are the words, and I quote, We want you to not forget us, no how. If we should not meet in this world, try to meet in the next, where parting is no more. Those words, the sinews of those words, were driven in the soul of Dr. Grayson. And I'm sure with his beloved mother passing away, with a wonderful wife who passed away, he would be blessed by, of course, Bobby later on. But he would question, and he would think about the life to come. He was a seeker, a tremendous questioner, a man ahead of his time, but a man ahead of his eternity as well. I want to share with you, in his latter days, the call was put out for Pastor Berwald to come. And for anyone who knows Pastor Berwald, his ministry, of course, means so very much. A depth of ministry and a depth of compassion. A largeness of soul that we all appreciate for Pastor Bearwald. But those questions were asked not only of Pastor Bearwald. A nurse would come in, and doctor wouldn't say, hey, take a look at the line here. He wouldn't say that. He would ask, what is the meaning of life? Thank God for a person who would dwell with the large issues of life. According to your own testimony, he was respectful of the Word of God, thankful for the ministry of Pastor Bearwald, and you yourselves ministered to him deeply as well. It was a beloved sister-in-law, Aunt June, who would come. And doctor would seek reassurance of seeing loved ones and recognizing them in heaven. And of course, Aunt Jan, June's sister, would give that wonderful reassurance. And you yourselves talk to him about these matters too. Kristen, who was in the hospital, it's 10:30 p.m. Your dad, according to you, was usually given his second wind. And he would want to have his email checked. He would want to log on to Facebook. And he would also, man after my own heart, he would also want Drudge to be checked as well. But you also accessed, in one of the last days, a beautiful Christian song entitled Because He Lives by Kristen Chenoweth. There was a deep emotional response that your dad had listening to that beautiful, beautiful song. And the reason why it shows Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort my people. I love the Hebrew. Nachamu, nachamu ami, yomer Eloheichem. Nachamu means comfort. Literally in the Hebrew, it means cause to breathe again. And the circle of life is so beautiful to me because what happened is you all allowed your dad to breathe again. But Kristen, what is significant about you, along with a few others here, when you were born, your lungs were not fully developed. Your dad had gerrymandered, gerrymandered is not the right word. He had invented a device so that your lungs would expand. He would cause you to breathe again. And the circle of life is so beautiful because you in his last days, along with other loved ones, you were all there ministering to him. But you caused him to breathe again, I believe, spiritually, along with Pastor Bearwald and all the loved ones here. And let us be assured, our God is alive, he has spoken in Christ, and if you would just permit me 2 minutes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he lived, he died, he rose again for you and for me. And through faith in him, we have everlasting life. And I was a philosophy major. I wish I would have talked with Dr. Grayson too. I did not have that opportunity. But I would tell Dr. Grayson, Doctor, please understand. There were 12 disciples of Christ. You excised Judas from the picture. There was one who was voted in as an apostle. And doctor, please tell me, how many of them died for their faith? And they didn't die before Jesus died, but they were willing to put their lives on the line after he died and after he rose again. History records 11 out of 12 of those apostles were martyred for their faith in Christ. And I just want to tell you, loved one, you don't die for what you know is not true. You don't willingly die for a lie. And they would not put their lives on the line unless they knew and they had touched and they had seen with their own eyes him who died for them. And I love the Hebrew scriptures. They were written in a period of about 1400 to 400 BC, a 1,000-year period of time. They would have been translated into the Greek hundreds of years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. And there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament alone about Jesus. And they were minutely and amazingly fulfilled in his life and death and resurrection. I would ask you, loved one, the question that Dr. Grayson asked the nurse, do you believe in eternal life? And I want to give a second question to you. Do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? Believe in him and look forward to the life to come where we will see that throng, as Pastor so eloquently stated, that throng who has gone before us. And we will see him who has pierced for us, our great physician. Amen. Pray. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and that through the grave and gate of death we may pass with him to our joyful resurrection. Grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Grant to all who mourn a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Give courage and faith to those who are bereaved, that they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the comfort of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Grant us peace to entrust Richard to your never-failing love, which sustained him in this life. Thank you for the memories which we will continue to cherish of your grace reflected through Richard. Lord, receive him into the arms of your mercy and remember him according to the favor you bear for your people. God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Receive now the blessing of your God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Would the congregation please be seated? We now want to, we understand that there are loved ones present who would like to remember Dr. Grayson, and you're welcome to come over to the lectern, please, and share your remembrances, please, at this time.
My sister Mary, she spent much of her sophomore year in high school living with Grandpa and Bobby. Grandpa always admired and encouraged her writing. She couldn't be here today. She's overseas studying China. But in place of that, I'll read something she wrote. Grandpa first taught me the word pigeonhole. From what I recall, it means remembering something by tucking it away under a particular image, a pigeonhole. He taught me that pigeonholes could be used to remember each of the Ten Commandments. And as all the grandkids know, each commandment had its own image that could be used as a pigeonhole for quick recall. Just don't ask me what they are now. As it so happens, our memory naturally uses pigeonholes as a way to remember life's experiences, too. As I look back on my memories of Grandpa, each has been pigeonholed away under some object or another. One was his green visor, the lime-colored, translucent plastic cap he wore when watching TV in his office. My sister Amy used to steal it when we were younger and wear it around the house, much to Grandpa's annoyance and much to her pleasure. Another was the matzo crackers in the blue and silver tins in his house that his house never seemed to be without. The first time I tried them, I could only think how dry and stale they tasted, like saltines without salt. I figured they only needed a bit of peanut butter or cheese to be worth eating and almost made such an addition before realizing I couldn't add my own toppings to communion bread and thus shouldn't do so for matzah either. A third might be a ham radio, but for this I pigeonhole it only as a word instead of an image. Why? To this day, I don't know what a ham radio looks like. Despite all the stories Grandpa told about this hobby, I never was a good enough grandchild to ask for a demonstration, to think how much pleasure it would have given him to show me his once-beloved pastime. In truth, there are so many. Everything I remember about Grandpa will be forever connected with those things he loved best or which touched his everyday life. Glass Oberweis bottles, the fiddler on the roof, racquetball, the song My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean played on the banjo, binders full of genealogy records, even his suspenders, for I've never known another person to wear these day in, day out. I'm sure my cousins, aunts, uncles, second cousins, parents, siblings, and close family friends are now all thinking of the pigeonholes we'll store our memories of Grandpa away under. If we put all these images together, we'd see a colorful mosaic of sundry objects that make a complete picture of the life of an incredible man. As we remember him, let's keep this striking, multifarious image in mind, for in life, this is how he was too.
Hi, I'm Uncle Dick's great niece, and I'm going to read you an email that my father wrote, John. He's overseas on a deployment. Here it goes. My first memory of Richard Grayson was Thanksgiving of 1998. I was warned in advance, don't get into any debatable conversations with him or Dan or Greg. I laughed off this recommendation, but was given an explanation. All three of them will take any argument and debate the opposing side just to have the debate. How true this was, I loved it from the start. From that moment on, when the opportunity arose to sit and talk and discuss and debate at family gatherings, I was always a willing participant. It was not always the topic of debate, but the method in which he did so that intrigued me. It was not about proving his point. It was about making you prove yours. And in this process, gaining an education about what you really believed. Even in a debate, he was about bettering those around him when they didn't even know it was happening. And then there was his family, every member successful in their own right. It was obvious that Richard expected the very best out of his children. It was also obvious that love played a big part in making those expectations a reality. I remember looking at the family during a holiday and hoping that at some point I could be so lucky. I suppose on a number of levels, he was an inspiration to me, wanting to make sure my kids could reap the benefits of such love, devotion, and dedication. When I made my decision to join the Navy Reserves, Richard's first question was not why. It was peer support and enthusiasm that greeted me every time we spoke thereafter. His questions were always mixed with a story or two about his own service. They were always meant to educate and at the same time relate. He always wanted to know what was new and what was still old. He was always honestly interested, not out of politeness, but I think in a way to keep up with the current times. Most importantly, he asked out of respect for me, which was always such an amazing feeling. Your father will be missed, but his desire to better his world lives on in an incredible family, patients, pilots, military members, and everyone that ever had the pleasure and honor of getting to make this acquaintance. I have great sorrow for not having had the opportunity to see him one last time. What I do know is that he and Uncle Bob are debating the events on this day right now. Please know my thoughts and prayers are with you all these days ahead. Yours truly, John.
My father's cousin Nick wanted something read. He's in California, so he couldn't be here. How do you measure a man's life? If measured by the possessions accumulated, by the number of people commanded, by the myriad of places visited, by the vastness of estates acquired, then my cousin Richard Grayson, M.D., was indeed a poor man. But if you measure a man's life by its significance, by the years of public service, by the lives healed and years extended, by the ideals, ideas, and concepts promoted, by the values of human dignity and individual freedoms fiercely defended, then my cousin Richard Grayson, M.D., was a wealthy man indeed. A practicing medical doctor for more than 60 years, he served his community and country with a selfless devotion to public service, allowing his patients to pay according to what they could afford. A man of uncompromising integrity, he was dedicated to upholding the principles, personal responsibility, and the ideals embodied in the Constitution of the United States. A devoted family man, he instilled in his children and grandchildren his values of independence and personal integrity. Richard, you dedicated your life to service through medicine, to God, country, and humanity, and the world is a better place because of you. I love you, Richard. And it was my privilege to know you. You lived well. And I know, Richard, that you had only one regret in life, that you didn't live long enough to read every book that was ever written. May God receive you warmly.
One of the great things about Grandpa Grayson was his love of learning, as the Reverend said. He was a doctor, of course. He also studied his own genealogy and learned a great deal about that. He was a toastmaster. He was a ham radio operator who talked to distant people all over the world. And he also embraced the internet. He had his own website and domain name. He had his own blog. He also loved to learn about the world around him. He was always starting political discussions on email with us by reading some article about the world and then sending it to us for comments. I'll always remember those. He even had a Facebook account. We should all appreciate all the things that Grandpa has learned and shared with us. We should all be proud of him for learning so much. And we should all aspire to learn as much as he did in his life.
I'm April Jackson, the youngest of Dr. Grayson's middle daughter. My grandpa was a very kind man. One thing I'll never forget was how he surprised me on my 20th birthday with his last physical gift. He is a man of education, but this physical gift really surprised me and my big sister. He got 3 boxes of nail polish for me. And everyone was surprised by that. I'll never forget that day.
My name is Arno. I'm Richard's stepson, Bobby's son, oldest son, and I'm reading a letter on behalf of Roberta Grayson, his wife. Dearest Richard, thank you for being my friend, love, and companion. Thank you for being my husband and father to our children. Yours with June, and as needed, mine with Arno. For all of your guidance, care, and love, you have shown them through the years. I was trying last night to remember all of the reasons I love you so dearly. Well, it would take a book to list them all, so a few among them are: your global genius and vision of the world, the constant intellectual curiosity you never stopped learning even to your last day, your analytical ability that allowed you to solve grave problems, and the fact that you'd shared this gift with so many people, patients, friends, your colleagues, and often with strangers just because they asked. Your service to your fellow man, the great value and respect you had for each individual with whom you interacted. Your quick wit. Oh, how I loved your low, spontaneous laugh that came from deep inside. The warmth of your smile and how it lit up your whole face and then my heart. The twinkle in your eyes, the deepest, darkest, most beautiful eyes I've ever seen. They were a symbol of the depth of your spirit. Oh, I could go on and on. But in short, I'm proud to have been your wife, privileged to have your companion and friendship. You enriched my life and that of your family. As surely as dawn follows night, I know God was ever and is ever present in your soul. You are and will remain well loved.
Loved ones, shortly before Dr. Grayson died, a loved one had played this beautiful song, "When the Saints Go Marching In." And he said, "That's beautiful." And did he also say, "I'd like that at my funeral." So to honor Dr. Grayson's request, we're going to ask the good folks who are standing in the back of the church to come forward at this time. And may we hear this wonderful song, "When the Saints Go Marching In," please.